This is a Triple J podcast.
Prescription pills, it was alcohol, it was ice, it was G.
That may be the view of young people, it's not the view of our government.
If I don't meet a girl, it's pretty hard to tell her that I'm uncontactable.
To connect, to have a good time, to dance it off like nobody's watching.
This is going to have an effect for generations to come.
All right, it's time to start looking back on 2025. We're rounding out the year on Hack, our last week on the radio with shake-ups. Bit of a surprise for you, bit of a present. Looking back on some of the big moments, I'm Dave Marchese. Thank you so much for joining us. Sport today, and it's been a big year. There's quite a bit to reflect on. Here's a taste.
You're listening to Hack.
2025 was a crazy year in the world of sport.
That is one of the great grand final moments.
For her and for Australia, it is a series win.
We just love playing footy together, and well, the girls did so well.
And with that, the 2025 season comes to an end.
On Triple J.
Oh, I hate that sound. The 2025 season. I do want to know what your sporting moment of the year was, though. Was there one thing in particular that sticks out for you, good or bad? It can be a highlight, a low light. Message in 0439 757 555. Want to hear about all your sports memories this year. Maybe you got some fun ones that didn't make the national headlines or international headlines at a local level. They were really important to you. Really got you over the line, kept you moving in 2025. It is the shake-up, though, so we've got to meet our shake-up crew for today. And we have pulled together a bit of an expert panel on sport, as you would imagine. We're not going to get people who know nothing about it. We're going to get people who know everything about it. And first, former basketballer, sports journalist, Josh Garlett from Kick It Forward. How are you?
I don't know why you put a basketballer in there. I played very basic level social basketball.
But I don't know. I just think people should know that you're tall and you used to play basketball.
I'm going well, mate. Thank you very much for having me.
What's 2025 look like for you, by the way? You've been smashing it out with the Kick It Forward pod. Are you having a bit of a rest at the end of the year? What's the plan?
Yeah, we moved from Perth to Melbourne. We really miss Perth a lot, but we'll all head back for Christmas and stuff and do some stuff. But I'm sticking around for a bit while the boys head back. We're pushing right to the end, I think the 23rd of December. And then coming back pretty quick because we've got some ideas for some videos. So a little bit of a break, but we won't stop making video content, so it'll be fun.
Okay, so you're going to keep smashing it out. And the pod's going to continue over summer?
No, we'll have a month break over in January. I was talking about weddings. I got a wedding overseas. And then we'll have a small break, but we'll go until probably like January 1st.
Okay, nice. All right. Well, people will know where to go if they want to listen to the Kick It Forward podcast. So much good chat there. Also with us on the Shake Up today, another podcaster, El Bailey from the F1 podcast Paddock 43. How are you?
Good. Happy to be here.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for jumping on. Last time you were on Hack was very, very recently when you were desperately trying to get to Abu Dhabi for the Grand Prix. I need to know, did you get there in the end?
I didn't. I did fool the internet, though. I donned my race suit and I got on a plane. And I may have pretended that I was going to Abu Dhabi, but really I was going up to Brisbane and I was racing Porsche cars all day. So, I tried. It wasn't meant to be, but that's okay because Pat, my co-host, and I, we got a room at Crown. We watched the race live and we documented it all night.
Just as good. I mean, it was a really shameless call out that you did on national radio where you were like, anyone got tickets, please give them to me.
Hey, if you don't ask, you don't get.
That's true. That is absolutely true. What is your summer looking like, Elle?
My summer is going to be full of wedding planning. So I'm getting married in, I think it's like 6 or 7 weeks, and I'm not the best organized bride out there, as you now know.
Well, I know because you had a very important appointment today. Like, I'm going to say it's pretty critical in terms of wedding planning, and you pushed it back just so you could be here to talk about your favourite sport. Can you tell everyone what you were planning on doing?
Yes, my fiancé and I were supposed to be meeting with our priest, chaplain, whatever we want to call them, today at 4:30, and I may have asked if we could move that I could be here today, and that was our very first time doing that. So that's all good. It's been moved. It's happened. And I'm happy to be here.
Josh, what do you think of that commitment? What did you postpone yourself to be here today? Anything big?
No, we filmed something with Dave O'Neill, the like classic Melbourne comedian, for like a, we've been in these satirical news pieces for something that will come out in the next couple of days.
Okay.
That have tricked a lot of people, but we had to wrap it quickly because I had to ride in because I don't have a car.
Oh, no. Okay, so it's been a bit of a battle today.
No, it's been good. It's been good.
It's been good. All right, well, let's get into it because there's so much to crack into. Looking back on the year in sport, let's start with some of the highlights.
Hack. That's it, mate. You are world champion.
It was a win for the Broncos and another win for the Broncos.
The Brisbane Lions clutching their way to back-to-back.
The Kangaroos are the 2025 AFLW Premiers.
The long journey is over. McIlroy has his masterpiece.
Gap takes it by a metre and moving away.
Jumping with a real love, Noos Nation.
Hull's going to try and hold on from Ewoy. It's going to be a bronze medal, yes!
I just don't know if Australians realise how lucky you are to be watching the Australian swim team at the moment.
On Triple J.
Yeah, there's so much to choose from when it comes to highlights this year in sport. We've got people on the text line now telling us theirs. Someone says, I lived in France for half of this year. So the Tour de France went literally past my apartment window. The most insane experience. Bikes be speedy. Yeah, bikes do be speedy in the Tour de France, famously. Someone else, Jason from Orange in New South Wales, says biggest moment has to be Oscar Piastri being robbed in F1. Yeah, I feel like we're going to be getting into a bit of that very soon on Hack's Instagram. Another person saying Oscar Piastri, a contender for the F1 title. That was my highlight. Someone else just saying Queensland shitting all over every other state in terms of the footy results, which is fair enough. If you're a Queenslander, good year for you. What was your sporting highlight? Let me know, 0439757555. Give us the lowlights too. Give us the things that, you know, maybe you weren't too impressed with. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the year in sports with podcasters Josh Garlop and El Bailiu. Josh, what was it for you this year? Favourite moment?
Favourite moment? I probably should have prepared more, but selfishly, a lot of the Australian basketballers did really well. Dyson Daniels got most improved. Josh Giddey's emerged. It's been good to watch those guys, and there's this new wave of really, really talented basketballers who, you know, they're going to have a team soon that is really dominant, and I'm excited to see them come through. And then randomly also, it was kind of cool midway through the year, all the World Athletics highlights. Like Gout is this guy that we can all jump behind now. Jess Hull. And it was weird how it pushed through on TikTok, all those highlights that we were waking up to. I really enjoyed all that as well. And the NRL and AFL seasons have been, they're always going to be there for me. But that was some of the different highlights this year.
Yeah. Do you think like the Gout stuff you were talking about, we had a bit of a chat this year on Hack about running exploding in popularity, particularly among Gen Z. Josh, what do you reckon that's down to?
The running explosion in Australia. Oh, I think there's a big push away from alcohol. That's legitimate. Like, we work with alcohol in bars and stuff sometimes, and they say their biggest competitor now is fitness.
Yeah.
Wow. Which I found really funny because, like, it makes sense. You've got a lot of like-minded people, a lot of guys pretending they're really interested in running, I think, to have a lot of face time with randoms. and then Gout, I think he is a once-in-a-generation talent. Anytime they come through, potentially they can capture a lot of people's attention. So maybe he's right place, right time. But I think regardless of what happens of the current trends, he would still push through even if we were into, like, I guess, motorbiking or something else. Like, it's pretty crazy to see a guy that young doing so well.
Yeah, it's wild. Elle, your sporting highlight, it has to be Formula One related, surely.
Oh, yeah, like it'd be anything else. I mean, that's what I talk about for a living, isn't it? look, this was the most exciting year, especially for Australians. We had Oscar Piastri there. He spent half the season in front. And having that moment for Australians, we haven't had it in so long, I think was a phenomenal thing, especially with social media. I've never seen F1 spoken about in Australia so much, particularly in traditional media, and then people learning about the sport. And then off the back of that, we had the introduction of F1 Academy more in Australia as well. It's been around for a few years. If anyone didn't know what it was the W Series, and now it's F1 Academy, and we had two Aussies in there.
Yeah.
So we had Joanne Ciccone and Ava Anagostia, and watching these two young Melbourne girls absolutely kill it in the sport was amazing. But yeah, Oscar Piastri, he was my highlight always.
In terms of specific moments in the F1 and regarding Oscar Piastri, I mean, Rebecca has hit us up on Instagram and this was her moment.
Watching Oscar Piastri reverse off the grass after sliding off during the Australian Grand Prix, the crowd's reaction was electric and it was unlike anything I had experienced. And in hindsight, it was probably the moment that I knew he had what it took to fight for a world championship.
Yeah, Elle, do you remember how you were feeling at that exact moment?
I think I was pretty sick actually watching that because I just wanted it to be Oscar's race and it's home curse of racing. But if you head onto Google Maps now and you look at that corner, I'm actually pretty sure it's named Oscar Piastri's Corner now.
Really? Is that a joke?
Yeah. And people go, I know that people go and set up their laptops and they watch the F1 there late at night sometimes.
Wow.
It's
oh, really?
Like become like a little culty thing, like people doing it on TikTok. So
that's so
very
funny.
Interesting. Yeah.
That's wild. Josh, we have Sam Kerr returning to the Matildas back from injury. A lot of people have been waiting for this as well.
Yeah, Sam's unbelievable, and the fact that she's carried the sport for so long. We're talking about like moments that captured the nation and what Gaggart could do. I mean, nothing's been bigger than the Matildas in any of our memory in a long time. So to have her back, she's like such a lightning rod for the entire sport. She's inspired so many other girls. To have her back is unbelievable. I was in a sauna earlier this year, and then just talking about my day.
That could have gone any direction.
Yeah, I know.
It was
a crowded one. And then I was chatting because she's from Perth. And then all of a sudden she's in the sauna. She's walked out and I had probably an opportunity to potentially meet Sam Kerr and Lewitt. So, yeah,
what?
And saying that though, it'd be weird talking to someone in a sauna. So I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I didn't even know they did mixed gender saunas.
Oh, it's just a public one, like, you know, with lots of people. They're pretty popular right now.
Can I just say, like, the Perth connection is...
It's big.
It's just ridiculous. Like, don't you have, like, connection also maybe to Oscar Piastri? Like, you kind of are connected to a lot of people, I feel, through Perth.
I actually am. Yeah, randomly, like, Oscar's, like, coach, I knew through a guy through Perth as well. But it is weird. People joke about people in Melbourne and London and stuff from Perth, only hang out with Perth people. And all my basketball teams are made up of Perth people, so maybe, I'm sorry, we're talking too much about Perth.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you live in Melbourne now, so now you have no choice.
Exactly.
you have to branch out.
Adapt or die.
Exactly.
Nice to meet you today.
Yeah. We've got a lot of people messaging in with their sports highlights. Alex from Nowra says, the growth of women's sport is something to be celebrated. Another person says, two big highlights were Sam Kerr and Christy Mewis welcoming their baby, Mitch Brown coming out as bisexual. The big moment for the queer sporting community. Another person says, our best sporting moment of 2025 for us girl ballers, Alana Smith getting crowned Defensive Player of the Year in the WNBA. And another person says, Australia coming in third in the World Curling Championships for the mixed doubles.
That's a big one.
Yeah, huge.
I'm not up to date with my curling activity. But
unprepared.
Go them.
Elle, one of the things that also happened this year, because there's some, you know, maybe not sad news, but Australia maybe was a bit disappointed or just had, you know, feelings about Ariane Titmus retiring from swimming at 25.
I know, but what a legend and what has she done for that sport? Yeah. I mean, Australian swimming team to begin with is an insane team. The way they perform and Australia watches them at every Olympics and World Championship, everyone gets around them. But she retired at her peak and to have the courage to actually say, hey, I don't want to be disappointed. My body is also breaking. This is when I'm going to step down. That's huge. That takes a lot of strength and a lot of maturity. And now she's going to go on to even bigger and better things. You know, she's only 25. She's got a whole life ahead of her. And look at the achievements that she's had. So it is sad, but it opens up the door for someone else. And I think it's only the beginning for her.
I mean, Elle, do you reckon it is easier to retire earlier? Or like, what do you think in terms of retiring earlier or hanging on and retiring later?
Oh, it's such a hard thing because I relate this back to F1 with, you know, Lewis Hamilton was, you know, 7-time world champion with Mercedes and now he's moved to Ferrari and he's just not performing at all. Mm. And it would feel so frustrating to always finish at the bottom of the grid when you've just been this absolute legend in the sport. So I haven't been in that position before. I think there was a missed opportunity for me to be an athlete. I am 6'2", but apparently I'm only good for putting things at the top of the shelf and I can't even sit on a chair without falling off. So it's, you know, a lot of people say it was a missed opportunity, but I don't think my body could have handled it, and I don't know how anyone can come to that decision at that age.
And Josh, speaking of, like, you know, retirements and discussions around retirements in the NBA, it feels like LeBron James, Steph Curry indicating the Olympics in 2028 may not happen for them. It would be an end of an era, right?
Yeah, but, yeah, totally. I get it. But LeBron's old. Like, he's very, very old. He's amazing. LeBron's really good and stuff. But I feel like this is like a narrative he would have released saying, you know what, I'm ruling myself out for 2028. But in reality, probably he's completely aware of the legacy. And it would be far more, far better for him to step away rather than be cut from the Team USA trials. Because the reality is, like, you need to play defense at the Olympics and he probably won't be able to play proper defense. And there's going to be some really good teams like Serbia and Germany and a lot of those teams are awesome now, not to mention Slovenia and stuff like that in Australia. So I would be worried if I was him facing off Victor Wembanyama or something like that, a team that's absolutely stacked when you can't move laterally.
We've got so many messages coming through, people's highlights. Someone says, don't forget Molly Picklum, world champion surfer. Another person says, Australia winning back-to-back motocross of nations. So there's heaps, heaps coming through. Going to move on, though.
Ha! Adelaide star Isaac Rankin has been banned for 4 matches over the use of a homophobic slur.
The language used was offensive, hurtful and highly inappropriate.
I played in the AFL for 10 years and I'm a bisexual man.
Triple M radio host Marty Shigold has officially being let go.
You know what they remind me of? Year 10 girls.
He just doesn't understand the impact of his words and how not okay this was.
It was about a year ago I got out of a psych ward. I was in Epworth, Campbell for like 4 weeks.
I get racially abused, I reckon, every day.
I would have lost 500,000. I was broke. My mum was paying my mortgage.
On Triple J.
Yeah, we're switching now to some of the big discussions in sport this year because there was a lot of vulnerability on full display, wasn't there? Sports people either opening up about some of their toughest moments or struggles or people making headlines for bad behaviour. It is the Shake Up on Hack, wrapping up the year in sport with Josh Gullett from the Kick It Forward podcast, Elle Bailiu from the F1 pod Paddock 43. Elle, can you believe that big controversy around a Triple M presenter making offensive comments about the Matildas was this year? It was in February.
Yeah. When you said that was back in Feb, it honestly feels so long ago when that happened. God, it's crazy to me that this stuff still happens in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think of Australia's reaction to those comments? Because there was pretty quick condemnation.
Look, I think the reaction was warranted. You know, I feel so hard talking about this because it also seems so long ago, but I think the reaction was warranted. You know, people were upset and the Matildas deserve all the respect in the world for what they've done for the sport.
Josh, we had AFL player Bailey Smith revealing he spent time in a psych ward. And then we also had other revelations from people like on this show, former NRL player / book nerd Luke Bateman revealed that he had a gambling addiction. And he said, look, when I was playing in NRL, I reckon half the team had gambling addictions when he was with the Raiders. Do you think sports people are feeling more comfortable to open up about vulnerabilities or do you think that's a bit of a stretch?
I think, like, there's a far clearer ownership and platform to talk where you can just go live and things like that. And there's the age-old adage of damned if you do, damned if you don't. If they don't speak on about it, then people say, why aren't you doing it? If they do, someone's going to say, just kick the ball and shut up. So I think, like, there's a lot of bit of ownership saying, hey, I was actually struggling. Other people are struggling too. I think that there's this silent majority that really, really appreciate it. For both the topics mentioned. And I don't know, like, I think it's awesome that all of them can come forward because the same people are probably telling you to shut up are probably DMing people, you fucked up my multi. Oh, pardon me, sorry. I'm so sorry.
Oh, we can't bleep, it's live, but that's all good. Sorry, Josh, keep going.
So, like, sorry, guys. I've lost my train of thought. Sorry, guys.
Nah, look, I would just like to add on to that. I feel like fans, like, especially with the access of social media today and also all the different shows that are coming out and documentaries, fans love the access to the minds and not just the bodies behind the sport.
Yeah.
So vulnerability is almost becoming marketable in a way as well. And I think it's really important that it's there, but then sometimes we focus too much on it rather than just the sport. It's such a fine balance. It's like, where's the grey area? Where do we focus on? And, you know, I also personally love seeing it. I mean, watching Lando Norris on the weekend win the World Drivers' Championship and he's crying.
Yeah.
And not once has he faltered from being who he is. And everyone said that if he is emotional throughout his racing career, he will never be World Drivers' Championship champion because he's too vulnerable. He's not strong enough and all this sort of stuff. But opening that up opens that it is a normal feeling.
It does feel like, yeah, maybe there is some kind of switch. I don't know. Maybe it's a new generation of sports people who are just handling things a bit differently. We also had the Mitch Brown story this year, making AFL history, becoming the code's first openly bisexual man. That was a massive story, Josh. There was a lot of coverage around it. Do you think that that was kind of the step that was needed to make it easier for the next person?
I think it all accumulates with that sort of thing. Like, so many people reacted weirdly to that at the time. But, you know, he was the first to do something like that in the AFL, which, you know, has traditionally been extremely masculine and potentially limiting environment in that case. So I think in 10 years, people will look back in the perspective of that moment probably more than they would right now. I think that there will be another generation of people to come through, and then eventually we'll have an accumulative amount where it won't matter, but someone had to be the first, and that's why it was a big step, I think. So it's, I think, always in the future, when we look back in history, it'll be far more significant with the weight of people that follow him.
Yeah, Elle, are there any conversations that you think we should be having in sport, like stuff that maybe isn't being spoken enough about? And I don't know whether it's to do with women's sport or just sport in general.
I think we're very open about what we speak about in sport these days. And I think younger audiences are really demanding accountability a lot more as well, which I think is great. I think we're exploring the business side of sport a lot more as well. For women in sport, we have come so far. I think the Matildas are the ones to really thank for that, introducing the sport. We still have a long way to go with other sports, but particularly showcasing our Australian female athletes overseas, what they're doing. We don't talk about that enough. I think that's really important. You know, I touched on before Ava Anagostia and Joanne Seconti. They had an amazing year in F1 Academy, and, you know, Ava did break her foot and couldn't finish the season, but there wasn't enough mention in Australia of that, and that's two young 16-year-old girls going for it, driving at speeds of 250 kilometres an hour. They don't even have their driver's licence in Victoria. That's well, wild. Actually, I think Ava has now, but I think she got it last week, so she can now do a hook turn. But yeah. You know.
It's crazy. I mean, we're still getting so many highlights on our text line, people's highlights in sport. Someone says, this year, the legendary New Zealand rugby player, Portia Woodman-Wycliffe, had a Barbie doll made in her likeness. Another person says, my sports highlight is Australian MMA fighter Alexander Volkanovski getting the featherweight belt back. So, yeah, heaps coming through. It hasn't all been serious conversations, though. There's been some lighter moments and some weirder stuff as well.
Grace Walsh posting a video of him scooping up water from inside a toilet bowl.
Toilet water.
And I'm joined by James Magnusson to chat all things enhanced games. James, first of all, what do you want?
Officials had to pause two WNBA games this week because a person in the stands threw a sex toy on the court.
On Triple J.
Yeah, some of the lighter or weirder moments in sport this year. It's the shake-up on Hack, unpacking the year in sport with Josh Garlap and Elle Baillieu. Guys, can I start with my funny moment in sport in the year?
Yeah, sure.
Of course.
My funny moment was when Josh Garlap said the F word on the sport shake-up 3 minutes ago.
Sorry.
I'm kidding. I loved it. It's kind of like, well, it means you're very relaxed. When it slips out, it means things are going smoothly. But seriously, Josh, what did you think of the Reece Walsh thing, the toilet water stuff?
I find the whole Reece Walsh saga so funny because just what played out after. So he does the toilet water joke, and it seems like you can do something like that in NRL more than AFL because it seems like the scandals are funnier in NRL or more insane. But then he not only does that, he's the face of Australian Rugby League, goes on, has the most amazing performance, carries Brisbane to a premiership, in the most amazing way, and it's the toilet water guy that did it. It couldn't have been like lined up, and then he performs as well for Australia right after it. Like it was unbelievable the run he was on.
It also felt a bit like a kick it forward stunt, to be honest. It feels like you might.
Oh no! Now you've got to send him off. And yeah. They're going
to
be planning next over summer break.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the response cell was also like what kind of made it funny. The Broncos releasing that statement emphasising the toilet
Wasn't plugged in.
Yeah,
or something.
It was brand new. It was in a new bathroom. Had never been used.
Yeah,
Wally Cox. I'm renovating my house at the moment, and there's a new toilet going in there. I still went into it.
I'll tell you what, there's a lot of online health buffs on Instagram right now that I'm sure one of them is promoting drinking piss. So
I'm sure.
It's giving peak internet brain.
Yeah. It is. Everything's downhill from here. The first enhanced games happening in Las Vegas in May next year. For people who don't know, enhanced games is that competition that lets athletes take banned performance-enhancing drugs under medical supervision. Elle, will you be watching this?
Yes. Only because it's so interesting. The concept, I mean, it's about time, like, this was going to happen. It was inevitable that this would happen. You know, we've seen Tour de France athletes be done for doping. It probably happens in a lot more sports than we realise. And to have it in a controlled environment and see what the body can be pushed to do, I think it's, from a medical standpoint and a physiology standpoint, it's quite interesting. But I also don't think it's morally very good for the other sports.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm very conflicted.
Yeah,
I'm going to be watching, but maybe I shouldn't have told everyone that I was going to be watching.
Also, Josh, Las Vegas is a place to host it. I mean, there's no other place really, is there?
Yeah, Vegas is weird. Like it feels like they've priced out a lot of the people that used to go there. But I mean, there's probably no other place that could host an event like that, as you said. James Magnussen looks like, though, honestly, that if you pricked him with a knife or something, he would have exploded. Like, he looks so rolled up and juiced to the veins. But as you said, Elle, I want to see it. I want to see if it can work. At the same time, if someone dies, it'll probably put an end to it pretty quick.
Yeah, I guess there's like a really serious way of looking at it too. So, but there will be eyeballs on it. People are definitely captivated. What do we think about this Battle of the Sexes tennis match that the BBC's announced for later this year between Aryna Sabalenka and Nick Kyrgios? Do we think that's a good idea? Because there were some people saying, oh, it's going to belittle women's sport and we're not a fan of this.
I think there's an element that's ridiculous, but I also think there's an element that's cinematic of it. Mm-hmm. And I think it actually could be quite interesting. Watching them play together, there is no reason why they can't play together.
I think Kyrgios, if he's not injured, should destroy her. Like, it's nothing against Sabalenka at all. It's just like at his best, he was a top five player in the world and like and a complete enigma. I think it's a bit of a cop-out, to be honest, but at the same time, I'll watch it. I'm not saying I won't watch it. Like, I'll be very interested, but this has been done so many times before and it always has a similar result. So, I find the whole thing weird, especially with the Dubai thing and stuff like, where it is in the Middle East. So, I don't know, like, I don't want to knock it or anything because I understand why it is so enticing, but I kind of just want Kyrgios to play, Oz Open and stop peddling this random crap.
Yeah, you really don't want this one to go wrong. I think that's the main thing there.
I think there's some advantages for her.
But then is that too far? Like, you kind of go, no, let's put them on an even playing field. But then you understand that there's physiology differences between a male and a female. There is when they play. If she beats Kyrgios, then are people going to backlash if Kyrgios beats her? Like,
it'd be pretty awesome if she beat him.
Like, it would be. Yeah, yeah. It would be.
It's going to be an interesting one. And to be honest, there's a lot of stuff to look forward to in the next few months and obviously heading into next year. Any particular things, Josh, that you've got your eye on? Like, what about the Winter Olympics in Italy? Do you get around winter sports?
I think I will for that period, for sure. Yeah, totally. I think it'd be unbelievable to watch. Also, just quick shout out to Matt Hauser, who won the triathlon world championships this year. Nice. He's an absolute legend, and it's one of those weird sports that like no one really knows, and they struggle at funding and stuff. But yeah, that probably the Olympics would be the big one for me.
Elle, just quickly, anything you're really looking forward to next year?
Well, the very first opening race of F1 is in Australia, so that's a no-brainer.
Will Piastri be there?
Yes, he will be. And we've also got his grandstand as well, so it's going to be a big moment.
Will
for
be
him.
McLaren, though?
Yes.
Okay, you heard it here first.
So I'm excited for that. Winter Olympics, we've got Scotty back on there. He's got his show coming out soon as well, so that'll be exciting. And then Oz Open, Live Golf, Cell GP. God, I'm excited for Cell GP, actually. That'll be fun.
There's so much going on. Asian Cup, a lot of excitement there. That is all we've got time for, though, guys. Thank you so much for coming on. A huge shake-up wrapping up sport of 2025. Josh Garlop from the Kick It Forward podcast, thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you.
And Elle Ballew from the F1 podcast, Paddock 43, thank you for coming on. It was great.
Thank you for having
me.
And
good luck with the wedding planning.
Thank you.
You can finally lock some stuff down.
I'll go there now.
Go there now. Can you just go do it? It's stressing me out.
Yeah.
tomorrow, we continue our shake-ups, and we're going to be breaking down the year in politics. We've got a huge one planned for you. It'll be interesting. You don't want to miss it. That is all for now.